This song. I decided that the wide receiver train needs a little more marketing here, especially because we've knocked off one of our greatest foes. The running back train is
the greatest foe, maybe.
Yeah,
no,
I think linebacker train is going to be pretty strong.
The most annoying foe.
Well, running back train. Listen, there's a lot of folks out there that had been wooed by the highlight reel, the Bijan Robinson tape.
Yep.
And they're looking for a home today. And they can move right on over to the wide receiver train if they want. We welcome you with open arms. I know what you're thinking. But the Bills just signed a wide receiver yesterday. That's right, they did.
Yep.
That's right. Good morning, Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. Happy Tuesday. Sabres back to it tonight. We've got good stuff coming up. Sabres head coach Don Granato will talk to him about his team's struggles, of course. We're going to talk about Trent Sherfield in the 7 o'clock hour with MiamiDolphins.com, Travis Wingfield, about him. So plenty to get to. Sal on the way as well. And we've got two new Bills players.
Two new Bills at a wide receiver position and at a running back position.
Yeah. Great news.
A lot of draft effects, for sure.
Probably a lot of draft effects. Yeah. I'll say the Bills got generally positive reviews on the Deontay Hardy signing. And then yesterday was a lot of really positive stuff from the national media, whether it's the film guys, the analytics guys, or whatever. Like, I saw a lot of answers, a lot of responses that said, going from Singletary to Harris and McKenzie to Sherfield or Deontay Hardy, whatever. Kumerow to Sherfield.
Kumerow to Sherfield,
like, all these things are incremental moves, but they're all good. And I agree with all of it. We talked briefly about Damian Harris. And when I saw the Bills got that done yesterday, we haven't seen money on that, so I guess we have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with Damian Harris, and I'm very happy with Trent Sherfield. You had the numbers.
Yeah.
In 2021, Harris put up what for the Patriots?
952 yards rushing and 15 touchdowns.
And only 600 of those came against the Bills. Sorry, I was waiting for that one.
On like five carries, by the way, right?
Yeah. The Hurricane game or whatever, he was the guy.
Yeah.
He's the big downhill back, and he can take it to the house? Okay.
He's got the speed for it. Is he the big downhill back, or is he just bigger than what they've got?
Sure, right.
Which is fine, right? He's 5'10", 213 is what he's listed
at. Okay, so probably 15 pounds heavier than anybody else out there?
He's 15 pounds heavier than Hines. He's 20 pounds heavier than Cook.
Okay. I didn't know what Cook was latest listed at, but all right, good. So
what I've got him at is 190.
And he's a tough runner. Yeah. He's a tough runner. So Damian Harris, 803-0550, our phone number to give us a call on either of these moves. Devin Singletary, now in Houston, and the Bills bring in Damian Harris on a one-year deal. And we don't know the money of that. We do know the terms of a one-year deal. Yep. Same with Trent Sherfield, one-year deal. He said he thought he was going back to Miami, and instead they didn't want him back. He comes to Buffalo. So two new additions to the offense. Can we kind of step back a minute and say, if you were an all-offense offseason, hey, it's time to focus on the offense, aren't you thrilled? Isn't the offseason going exactly how you would have wanted? They've added a guard, two receivers, and a running back.
It's going, I'm going to need the completion and the draft, of course, but it's so far so good. Yeah, I'd want to give it a so far so good, but an incomplete grade still.
How would it be better if they had signed, Adam Thielen? If they had signed Beckham?
No, that's what I mean. Actually, that's why maybe even not even so far so good. It's going as well as it could have.
Okay,
at
right,
this
because
point.
There are, did you want Jacoby Myers?
Not really. I mean, $11 million, that was more appetizing than I might have originally thought. But no, like the first round receiver, to me, that's the prize. That was the number one priority for the offense going into the offseason. And the reason why I might be able to say, even though it's incomplete, that everything's going as well as possible is they are one after the next checking off positions in which they would draft over a receiver for need, right? Guard, off the board, not taking it in the first round. Running back, off the board, not taking it in the first round. Safety, I guess they could. They signed Jordan Poyer. Unlikely to me that they would do that in the first round. Middle linebacker, still out there, but everything they've done has kind of I think, been geared towards that first-round receiver, and that includes, I would want to include Deonte Hardy and Trent Sherfield in that. I mean, they are part-time players throughout their career. Both have been reasonably good. Like, everyone seems to say, okay, these guys, yeah, like, limited sample, not big numbers, but you're going to like this guy, Hardy. Like, there's more there. Full route tree and the yards after catch. Don't worry about only the 700 yards receiving for his career. And Sherfield, there's a little of that, too. Like, Miami guys, like, oh, this guy's good. Like, they should have wanted him back. Only, again, like, 800 yards career for his receiving. Don't focus on that, because the players themselves are better than that. And I'm fully listening to that and believing that. But the guy that would come in here and really reshape the receiving core, I think they've left that spot open depending on what they think about Khalil Shakir. Because at the moment, I see Sherfield as a Jake Kumerow replacement. I see Deonte Hardy as an Isaiah McKenzie replacement, which means I've still got, I think, an opening for who this team's number three wide receiver is on day one.
Well, the only thing I would say about the idea of going straight replacements is last year, this was something we talked about coming into the year. They didn't have enough people, period.
No, there was a time when they had four receivers on the active roster.
They didn't have enough receivers. So I think you might fall into a little bit of a trap going straight replacements if you expect, and maybe you don't expect them, to just flat out carry more, add more, be more, I want to say, responsible about weapons for Allen. Last year, this time, going into, last year at the start of training camp, it was Diggs, Davis, and your next best option on the outside was Kumerow.
On the outside, it was
a team full of slot players that, I mean, Shakir, Brandon Bean said he can play on the outside. I was nervous about that. A rookie that you drafted for the slot, can he play on the outside? I'm not so sure about that. Jameson Crowder, oh, he can play on the outside. No, not really.
He's like never done
it. He very rarely does. McKenzie, like when these guys are on the outside for the Bills this year, I'd be interested to know the snap counts. You did some work for me, so a different question. You don't have to look this one up.
Yeah.
But every time that Diggs came off the field, somebody else went outside.
Right.
And chances are they didn't get the ball. Because if you're Isaiah McKenzie on the outside, you might just be standing out there because, well, Steph Diggs needs a break here.
Or sometimes it was Quentin Morris just to have somebody stand in that spot. Yeah.
Or James Cook or Nyheim Hines. Like, you lined people up out there with no intention of really using them. And I think my favorite thing about what the Bills are doing so far is, of course, adding receivers, adding weapons. They're adding speed. For a while, it was about chasing speed and yards after catch and home run threats, right? That was James Cook. James Cook's drafted for a home run threat.
Yep.
Here's Harris that has the speed to do it. Nyheim Hines has the speed to do it. He can return kicks. In the receiver core, we see them add Deonte Hardy, super fast. Mm-hmm. Trent Sherfield, super fast, or whatever. Maybe not like...
Not on Hardy's level, but fast.
Sure.
He had a 75-yard touchdown against the 49ers.
Yeah, he got yards after catch, a catch-and-run guy. So I've got versatility now in the passing game that I didn't have before. I think the biggest problem for the Bills last year in the passing game that was foreseeable was not enough weapons on the offensive side, not enough speed, nobody to really strike fear into you. And the Hardy thing, Deonte Hardy, so, okay, he takes a top off of defense. Great. What does Trent Sherfield do? Well, if you get the ball in his hands, he can be a really great yards after catch guy. Same with Hardy. The difference between the two is Sherfield is bigger. He's over 200 pounds.
Yep.
He can break a tackle or two. He's not exactly the shiftiness of Hardy. But Sherfield is the kind of guy that plays gunner on special teams early in his career. So now you know that's not some 5'6 speed guy. That's a guy who's 6'1, 200 something, and is willing to take a hit.
He's almost like if Deonte Hardy is an extremely light version of Tyreek Hill, Trent Sherfield might be an extremely light version of Deebo Samuel.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important you said extremely light because people will get mad at you. But I get what you mean. He definitely is not afraid of a physical style of play.
Right.
So maybe you don't know the name Sherfield. I mean, he played against the Bills a couple times. He's the one when the Bills lost in Miami and they punted it into their own player's butt.
Yeah.
It was Trent Sherfield's butt.
I learned that yesterday that was him. Yeah.
They punted into his butt. So anyway, I'm very happy. I do not think this closes the door on adding another receiver because, again, at this time last year, if you want to say this guy swapped for this, going into camp last year, they had Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
And then they let him walk out the door in, you know, what I think is still a mistake, not just for what Hodgins looks to become for the Giants, but because they needed him last year. So I just think that they are identifying and acting on a thing that we all knew. This all looks to me like vindication for anybody out there that was banging the table about how could you leave your receivers so neglected,
yeah,
that you had to go out and get Brown and Beasley. And we said it maybe 3 days ago, Joe. You can't ever let that happen again where you're so thin at receiver, you have to go get Brown and Beasley. They did that because
yeah.
Crowder was hurt. But it wasn't even really this crazy rash of injuries. They really just needed the help, and they didn't have the numbers.
Right. Right, so, they didn't even have the depth.
They didn't even have the numbers on their in their building to yeah. fill a full receiver core, so they went out and got those two guys.
Right, so depth's been answered, but like, is the top end been answered? Because to me, those were both an issue.
That's right, not yet, and you probably want someone between Diggs and Davis or
yeah.
someone to take some away from Davis and be an all-around player. Can I tell you that I woke up this morning, came into work today, and it wasn't until about 10 minutes before the show, I realized that I had a dream about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I thought, coming into work today, we were going to talk about all the things he said about Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
And then I came in and I was all ready to talk about it. When you walked in the door, I thought, wait, that definitely didn't happen.
It didn't actually happen.
No, I thought we had all this juice on Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Wow.
We don't. He did say nice things about the Bills at the Combine.
Yeah, I saw odds on where he gets drafted yesterday, and the Bills were like 13th on the list.
Yeah, he's going pretty
high. Like half the league think, yeah, it's probably
he would
though.
Require a move up, and that's, you know, that's got its own issues.
You would have to trade the more and more. Every mock I see, he's going high teens, or low teens, I should say, or single digits. Which
yeah.
means you're trading a first-round pick to go up and get him at this point.
Which you're not going to do.
No.
You're not going to do that.
They're going to add one other player, though, right? Like
definitely.
Even I almost don't want to even put this out into the universe, this energy, but even if they don't draft a first-round wide receiver, they're going to add somebody. Because they have five guys right now. Like, six is usually normal for them, right? They have five guys that I think pretty convincingly, I think you can just pencil in. Right? Like,
yep.
Diggs is on. Davis is on. Hardy, Sherfield, and Shakir. That's five receivers that are going to be on this team.
Yep.
You've got room for one more.
And now that Sherfield can count as your special team or double guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to say you might as well count it as five, but last year when we did our count, I wasn't counting Kumerow most of the time because
right.
he's the special teamer.
Right.
Sherfield gives you more flexibility.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got space for another one.
Right. So even if it's a second-round guy, if it's a third-round guy, there will be, or I guess they could sign one more free agent. But there's room for one more here. And I like the point about, though, like, it feels pretty good that they will not be in the same spot last year where they are chasing receiver middle of the season.
Yeah.
Where they have to even have, they have to court Beckham at the middle point of the year. Where it feels like that's something that you might want to think should be a luxury, and it felt like a necessity for the Bills at the midpoint of last season. They've got to get Beckham. Before
yeah.
we knew, really, that he wouldn't be able to play, they've got to find a way to get Beckham because they need it. And then they go Brown and Beasley. So, and on the outside, too, like just to have guys that are capable of playing in multiple spots, versatile, like that's a lesson learned, I think, by the Bills that they've put action to in 1 year. Where they had all slot guys, and then a year later, is Shakir the only one that primarily plays in the slot? And even he's like 60-40. So, positional versatility at the receiver position.
Yeah,
which is also maybe a step away from, like Sal will bring up the pass catchers thing. Like tight ends being out there, running backs being, Quentin Morris playing more snaps at receiver than tight end last year. Hines playing more snaps at receiver than running back. I just want to kill that. To be done with it. No, don't give me guys out of position playing at receiver, because now I shouldn't have to do that because I've actually got real receivers that can go out there and play.
Yeah, the reason to do that is you think you can get a matchup. You get James Cook on a linebacker or whatever. Okay, do it for the sake of matchups rather than the sake of, well, we can do it. Which, this also gets back to Ken Dorsey, and I think there's probably lots of Bills fans that are maybe wait and see on Dorsey. You're not mad at him from the first year. Plenty are. But you're not thinking he's definitely terrible. It was a first year doing the job. Okay, how's year two look? And this time, that's the other thing about this, Joe. last year, trying to figure out, they kept throwing him pass-catching running backs. Like, here's another running back. Here's another running back. Why? Here's O.J. Howard. Why? These moves are always puzzling, and it always seemed like you're not good enough at receiver. I had somebody message us today say, you know, all this wide receiver train stuff is nice. It's too bad it didn't run last year. It did. We definitely ran the train last year. Just the Bills didn't take a receiver with the first or second or third. You know, they waited all the way to Khalil Shakir. So the versatility, the breadth of weapons, these things are improving. They're already in a better spot than they were heading to the draft last year on receiver. And that's nice. So happy about that. Would still add the Damian Harris signing. This is another one that, I mean, Sal had predicted this, and Brandon Bean then flat out said it. They'd like to get another running back. They'd like to get someone a little bigger.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's not A.J. Dillon, but he's a running back that's bigger than what they have and offers a downhill running style. That's what Damian Harris is. Downhill running style. Bills fans watched as Harris and Ramondre Stevenson ran through the Bills at least once, again, in the wind game. But I like Harris, and I'm good with it. Maybe he's one-dimensional. Okay. Didn't they want a running back that had pretty much one dimension? Isn't this guy's job to take a little bit of load off Josh Allen in spots where you need tough yards? And he's not, like you said, he's not the biggest bruiser.
Yeah.
But he's strong enough, and he can do the job.
I just wonder how much that actually will matter. And I also what the splits now are going to look like. I'm very curious that what level of signing the Harris move really is. They had last year, with Singletary now gone, they had 291 carries total to running backs and 101 targets. And now I've got three guys to split that up between, which is not like the Bills. The Bills have had two guys, really, primarily.
Until this year. When they became obsessed with pass-catching running backs.
Yeah, but even then, like, Hines was on the team, but we've talked about repeatedly how they just didn't use him.
He had 11 touches.
So is that what I'm in line for again, now that Damian Harris is back? Which is fine, but what did I bring Nyheim Hines back for at $3 million?
Versatility.
If that's the case.
Kick returns and the ability to help in the passing game.
So then he's a returner then.
A little bit.
Because out of 101 targets, what do we think Hines is getting this year?
Oh,
30?
101 targets to running backs?
Let's say they are exactly the same as what they were last year. Is he getting 30 targets? Is he getting 50?
Cook is getting 50. Hines is getting 30, sure.
And then the rest go to Harris just because it's a few?
Maybe Cook gets 60 if he gets enough snaps. That's a big number.
60 targets, though.
Yeah, I mean, 100's a lot. It depends. Early in the season, they threw to running backs, and it worked really well. And then drifted off. I mean, Singletary had how many targets last year?
Singletary had 50. Okay. He had half of them. So half of them, and then 32 to Cook. So like, we'll see. I mean, they're going to dress three, I'm guessing, every single game now, which again is also something that they didn't really do until last season. But I do think Harris is an upgrade over Singletary. Like, a lot of yards over expected, he's been a better running back. In the short yardage, they've actually been pretty comparable. But in terms of the style, yeah, Harris fits better what they would have been looking for in that downfield element.
8030550 downhill element.
Downhill element. He's not
downhill.
Running. I don't think he's running the 9 route on the outside.
When was the last time you ran downhill? It's not easy to run
downhill.
Usually
downhill in Pittsburgh because it's like
it's
way
hilly.
Hillier than you think.
It's very hilly.
Yeah.
Running downhill is dangerous.
Because
it's hard.
What? Because if you fall forward, then it's easier to fall forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
And depending on the pitch of the hill, the incline. I mean.
Yeah. No, that sounds right.
You could tumble for a while.
Yeah. When we would go to Arizona in the last couple of years, whenever we would do hikes, walking downhill, I always thought was harder than going uphill. Uphill is more on your legs, but downhill, right? Like it's
hard on your knees.
It's hard on your knees, and like it would feel easy. Like I could slip. At any second here. Like, yep. It would be easier to slip.
There you go. There's our thoughts on downhill.
See, what you got to do is, like, go side to side instead of going straight down when you're going downhill. Takes less pressure
off. Like waddling? Like waddling downhill?
Like switchbacks, basically. That's how it works.
Yeah, you're basically just walking in a curve. When I've done that a lot of times hiking in Boy Scouts.
Okay. I was going to say, Evan, I know this about you. Evan is an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
So any question we have like this...
He's the one.
He's the guy.
All right.
Hiking...
How to tie a knot.
I was going to say, there's probably a million skills you have that are super useful.
Yes.
It's funny you said how to tie a knot, because I can remember growing up in, like, you know, when Boy Scouts started. I didn't go very far, but one of the first things I remember is the book that showed all the knots, and I did think that was cool. And you probably had the same experience. And again, like you said, there's probably a million more life skills that are more useful than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, knot tying is very, very useful for a lot of things. I mean, I'm not the best knot tier. I'll give props to my brother. I don't know if he's listening, but he was always the knot master. He was always good at everything.
Yeah. Well, hey, from running downhill to tying knots, we're all over the place today, but that's okay. You can give us a call, 803-0550, on the Harris signing, on the Trent Sherfield signing as well. Tyler Dunn had an incredible piece about Sherfield that, if you haven't read it, go longtd.com for that. I tweeted it out earlier, maybe yesterday.
There's Tyler just with a story on your team signs a guy.
Yeah. And
there's the story.
And he's just ready with it. And this is from 10 days ago. This was from Sherfield entering free agency, and his story from going from Vanderbilt to undrafted to the Cardinals to the Dolphins and now to the Bills. Like, he's a, you know, scrappy, whatever, find a way to get it done story, and a really, really cool story along the way. 803-0550 to join us. We'll get plenty of hockey, and we've got to hear from Devin Levi, because Levi Watch is on. No one, I don't think, expects him to play tonight against Nashville. But
Hasn't practiced yet.
No. Yeah. In time, he will make his Buffalo Sabres debut. We've seen his mask. Another indication he's going to play soon, right? He's got a mask. So, yeah, that's fun, too. 803-0550, as I mentioned, is the number. Get on this receiver train, and let's talk about the Bills' offense and what needs to happen next. Is it first-round receiver? Is it the big move at receiver, whether you want Beckham, Hopkins, Judy?
Well, the youth at receiver is still something they have not really done, is it?
That's right. And that's where Judy, you know, would you pay a first-round pick that's a big price?
He's young.
You would fit him under the cap, and he's young. So, your thoughts are welcome. The Bills making moves this offseason here on WGR.